morning and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smith is blooms, here in A Chat in the Garden. I'm telling you, we have got some blooming leaders to recognize today. I'm excited with the announcement of women leaders in college sports. With members that are being recognized. One of our newest members, I would say within the last hour, is Devon Hendricks. She has been recognized as a rising executive. So for old heads, it used to be leaders, administrators of the year, but they have replaced the word administrators and leaders to executives. So she is being recognized as a rising executive. And I am proud to announce that we have three other Nike Executives of the Year that are members of the Garden. First is Tanya Walker. She is being recognized as a NAIA administrator. And it's interesting because I believe Tanya, this is her third time being recognized by women leaders. First, it was I got the award myself and I forgot the name of it. That's crazy. I'm going to stroll down here on inside our group if I can get the name. Nell Jackson, that's what it is. The Nell Jackson Diversity. It really is one that has fought for and broke barriers and brought other people on in diversity. And that is what Tanya got at first, and then she was Division II Administrator of the Year when it was called that. And now she just stepped down as the athletic director at an NAIA institution, and she was recognized for being a top executive in that area. And then Tiffany Tucker is being recognized in that area as the Nell Jackson Nike Executive of the Year. And excited for that. She was one of the first dedicated listeners of A Chat in the Garden. I can always count on her to listen in and make some comments. And this thrilled, and she's also been a speaker at some of my retreats talking about marketing. So ecstatic. And drum roll, this is what I'm really excited about, is Dr. Angel Mason. She was in our very first Significance in Athletics magazine, first athletic director in the magazine, and excited because she is named Division III Nike Executive of the Year. So really excited about that because I actually dropped a hint to a couple of people that she needs to be nominated because she's racking up with them trophies, okay? And just excited about the recognition on a national platform. And I am not taking credit for her award as it relates to Dr. Angel Mason, but I do take credit for telling her that you've got to let people know who you are. It is earworms. It's seeing a ballot and saying, oh, I heard of all the great things that she's doing. You hear what I said, that she's at a Division III institution that may not get all the publicity that a Division I or Power Five. So you have to take control of your own narrative. And she did that by investing to be in the magazine to tell her story about what her specialized knowledge is. And I'm excited to be taking that ride with her and glad that she trusted me. And I don't believe I had to nudge her. I believe she said, yeah, I'll do it. And she got some professional pictures taken. And we talked through what she wanted to be known for. And interesting enough, but when we were in the process because I call it expert marketing training. What is your specialized knowledge? What did you want to be known for? It came about that she believes it has done workshops on emotional intelligence. So I was like, okay, great. And I slid her over to the Advanced Academy and had her do a session as a guest expert in our membership portal on the importance and of emotional intelligence. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to advance in this business, it really, really is going to depend not only on the degrees you have, the experiences you have, and the internships you have. It is going to count on your emotional intelligence. I tell people all the time, your advancement has a lot to do with how you accept no and how you navigate no. And how you navigate when you're not accepted. How do you strategically deal with the unpleasantness of having to correct someone or being corrected? Those things are important. So I love her session that she did in the Advanced Academy on that. Just excited about the growth I see. I know all three of these women very personally. And then lastly, my personal professional mentor, Alfreda Goff, is being recognized as Nike Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And I really would not be where I am without Alfreda Goff. Whenever I do a speaking engagement about how I got into this business and who had the most influence on me, I first say Jeanette A. Lee because she was the first woman athletic director in the CIAA, and she was my first supervisor straight out of college, and she set the example of how you how do you take care of the most important group, which is the student athletes and the students, period. You know, the importance of higher ed and working on campus and working with other groups on campus. I just love higher ed just because of that reason. And then secondly, Alfreda Goff, I just never forget. We were both athletic directors in the CIAA conference office. I'm going to be honest. I was there by default. And she was there because she was trained. But I got trained by her. And she saw me in action before I even got the title. That's another thing. People gravitate to people who get things done. They don't gravitate to titles. They might who went hard at you. Like, ooh, 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 ooh. But when they got an issue and they're trying to get something done, they're going to go to the person who can get it done. And so she saw me with championships. Again, I'm at an institution, but I was put in place to do softball and volleyball because I learned how to computerize stats. And I saw everybody else, you know, deepening and diving into football and basketball. And I didn't have football at St. Paul's College, so I said, you know, I'm going to learn how to do this volleyball. And I think when we pick the all-conference team, it should be based on statistics, not based on the fact you like the coach or like the person. And so they had some statistics to look at. Same thing with softball. But what I really, really admired about her, talking about emotional intelligence, is how Alfreda was able to get buy-in. Some folks that were some of the, I don't want to say the meanest, but the most difficult people to work with, and how she just broke them down and got things done. And how she got it done was by sharing her expertise of how to make the person and the organization better. Yeah, the one thing, you know, most folks, it's another thing to be clear, and I'm pretty sure, especially since Angel is one, Dr. Angel Mason is a proponent of emotional intelligence. She's a Division I former student athlete. She didn't come into the Division III space and said, oh, y'all doing this wrong. Let me show you how to do it right. I hope I'm preaching to somebody right now. If you're looking to get an opportunity, you don't go and shame people into saying why they need to have you. Let that sit right there. That's emotional intelligence. You figure out how to say what you want to say without saying it. Now, let me be clear, as it relates to me being executive coach, I don't follow the same piece because it's a one-on-one, and I need to get your attention, so that's a little different. But when you're trying to work with a group of people, trying to get buy-in and trying to move that train, that's the kind of energy you need to be able to exude. So I'm excited. Hey, I'm glad I got my roommate, I got my flight, and I got my ticket. So if you're going to be at Women Leaders in Kansas in October, I'm going to see you, and we are going to celebrate these beautiful women who are blooming here in the Chattanooga Garden. So glad I started off with a happy note because we got some serious business to talk to you about before we bring our guest on. Last week, I think it might have been Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. The news hit the waves about a youth football coach being killed by a parent that came out to stand and just shot him straight, you know, right there in the middle of the sporting event. And I was appalled. And I have been trying to grapple with youth. I told you, I just finished saying I love higher ed because I get that. I get that. And I get the hierarchy of higher education, you know, how it's supposed to work. But somehow in youth sports, that cup is turned upside down, and it appears as if parents are running those kind of things. And so somehow or another, we got to steer that ship in the right direction. So I think it was Tuesday or Monday. I think it was Monday because Ava Amaker does not play. She probably did do this on a Monday. I have no doubt. I think she did. She jumps all into it. So I'm talking about Ava Amaker, the owner of A&A Athletics Consulting. She hosted a webinar, Enough is Enough, Protect the Kids campaign. And it was good. Now, I'll be honest with you, your girl here and me, something hit a nerve, and I went there. You know, so I'm going to apologize if you go back and watch it. My husband and my mother was like, what happened to you? I said, a nerve was hit. Because, again, I'm not familiar with this youth sports and parents and their thought process. And to me, I tell my students I'm not having a barbershop conversation. You know, you've been educated, and we need to have an educated conversation. But instead of bringing her up to my educated conversation, I went down to her level, and I just kind of told her about myself. So just kind of bypassed that part. But the thing I like the most about Amaker and A&A Athletics Consulting, she's about results. So it was not about, like, you know, who could one on this webinar, you know, and what parent did this and did you hear about this. She is really about the business of creating a tier criteria for safer organization and events. That's what I'm talking about, providing solutions. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I did mention a little bit about how people look forward to lab checks, grading card, about how organizations are doing with hiring. And even with me and my consultant in the early days of trying to get institutions to comply with Title IX, it really was the embarrassing piece, that criteria in order to get people to get into the right direction, or that fear factor of you're going to be singled out for not complying. And so I just shared that. And so I'm excited about that. So I'm just saying this out here on the podcast. If that is something that you are interested in, helping with the creating a criteria, because what it would be, from what I understand, it really is, you know, when it comes to youth sports and sport organization, you can say a vendor, a venue, has got a stamp of approval of being safe. They have all the things in proper place. And who better to do this than Ava Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant, who owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. She's all about policies to practice. And so, yeah, she already offers first responder training, sport and event staff certification, workspace safety and personnel training and operations. And one of the things that she said, which I was like, that is on point. You know, she actually trains you to be looking at, and I mean, in today's world, you got to be social media savvy, especially. We've always had rival games, and we always prepare for that. But are you being, and I don't mean profiling and putting people out for to get into the game, but you can already say that this is a problematic and we need to have our eyes on this. And the first time you see something, you respond to it by escorting them out. Those, unless you've already had the visiting team there before, you kind of know, you know, what to look for. And even with, I don't know if schools do this, but they have a, you know, a rowdy crowd section. And that always, when I worked at St. Paul's College, constituted more security in that corner because that's what they're there for. And let's just be clear, many people feel that to support their team, they must really have large and exuberant discourse, meaning I must curse out the official, I must da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and there was a woman that I'm real close to. So, yeah, she get kicked out of the high school game all the time. I'm like, and this is a prominent leader, like, you know, like official on a city and a town level. But to her, that means I'm showing my support for my team. And we just got to train folks differently, unlearn some things. And I'm really glad that Ava has jumped on the bandwagon. I mean, jumped on it. The thing came out on Monday, and she's having this webinar. And I believe she's going to have it every Monday. So if you want to get a part of this, if you want to solicit one of her trainings for your staff, I think it's really time well spent, especially training even your young people, your work study students that are coming on board to oversee your game. Today's a different day, and we got to be able to be ready for it. We got to be vigilant. We just call her Vigilant Safety Training Center. So go to her website, and she got some actually got some documents that you can use now. This great resource. I just learned a lot from her, and I just want to you all to learn as much too. So go to VigilantSTC.com. That's Vigilance, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-C-E. No, yeah, C-E-S-T-C.com. That's V-I-G-I-L-A-N-C-E-S-T-C.com. I see C. Waller is on it again. She was on her show giving away preseason tickets to the Washington Commanders game. And so when I tell you this lady is knows all about media and interviewing and all that kind of thing, she's the real deal. But what I'm really impressed about, the reason why she's partnering with us here at Chatting the Garden, is that you got Seawall Foundation, and she's offering media training for student athletes. And I think this is really great because she's really in the media. But she's going to step on the other side and train you how to control your message. And I think that's so important because just to be, again, I trained in communications over 30-some years ago, and I was trained. A person can ask the question, but doesn't necessarily mean you have to answer that question. So if you have the mic in front of you, you already decide before you even ask the question, what is it you want to portray? And that is controlling the narrative. So what I'm excited about is that she's preparing a course this fall, and I believe that you can watch the course, take the course online without her coming to campus. And so like what I like to say is lights, camera, action, preparing our players for that so they don't have a sorry Miss Jackson moment. So more information, contact info at seawallfoundation.org. Again, seawallfoundation.org. V. Butler is a media partner as well, and she has the book called 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, a resource for parents, athletes, administration, and coaches. And kids are coming on campus, and this is a resource that I'm saying that this is crucial for you to have on your college campus because it's a great resource. And it's a great resource for you to get started to engage your students. I think that's the important part. You have got to get to know your folks and what makes them tick. And you just can't say, what makes you tick? You got to have a prompt, you know. And so I've been reading from here. Interesting enough, I'm on tip 12. And it says establish coach relationship. And so, and I, actually one of my signature workshops I'm doing across the country is called the Newly Committed Game. It's a game I created because I had a client to say, how can we help these coaches keep these kids from entering the portal? Well, I didn't have a foolproof point, but for what I understand and my experience, is that if a kid thinks that you understand them, they're not going anywhere. They'd rather stay with you. But I mean, not understand them, go to your right to go to your left, or who their friends are on the team, or what their favorite color is. It's more about the social world. Are they an only child, the oldest child? Were they raised by the grandparent? Explains why they sometimes respond the way they respond. But those things are things that can be seen. What about the other things, such as social unrest? How did that hit them? You know, do they tune it out, or are their advocates visible? You need to know this. You need to know what they want to major in, what they want to do in life. And so we played a game with the coaches, and if they couldn't answer, they sure didn't get a point. And remember I said about the shaming piece that I try to get people to go, you know, when you look and see how much you really don't know your student athlete, if you're not really committed to them, then that means it shines a light. Yeah, it shines a light. And so this could be a piece of that to be prompt. That you can have them read it and then like send your text, what the answers are, what your thoughts are. And this book is very thin, so it's not like you give them another textbook. So I really, really, really stress to you to incorporate this book in your preseason activities. And to get this book, you go to payhip.com/theballcode. payhip.com/theballcode and get your copies today. You heard me speak a little bit about the magazine, Celebrities in Athletics. I'm really very proud of it because it's doing what I wanted it to do, which was highlight the significant women in athletics and sports and to give them the recognition that they deserve. And so, the fourth issue is out with on the covers, Dr. Ingrid Wiggin McCree. We have Nikita Robinson, Hallie Major, Dr. Denise Kofi, K. Kiana Farmer, Suzette McQueen, Jane Jackson Browning, Ayanna Twitty, Arius Thomas, Dr. Sonia Shaw, Ebony Hood, and Coach Rich of Temple University. I'm really proud of this issue. I'm really proud because I did change designers, and I'm very pleased that we still have the quality and, I would say, improvement. So you can get your copies today by going to payhip.com/seasonalempowerment. Again, payhip.com/seasonalempowerment. And if you would like to contribute to the next issue, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonalempowerment. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@seasonalempowerment.info. There are payment plans available to be a contributor. Four payment plans. The first draft is due November the 5th. So you have time. You have time. And lastly, I'd like to share another resource. It's called Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Ruin the Curse by Tawana Smith. She wrote this book a couple of years ago before Name, Image, and Likeness. And I am really saying you need to get this because it really broadened my experience of what financially are the implications for a person receiving money that is on the playing field. So since our kids can get money now is the time to incorporate this in your understanding. And we're not just talking about having somebody to look at contracts, somebody to again, reduce the tax implications. And what does that look like? And how do these young people pick this person? Where do they go from? Insurance. Oh, my goodness, insurance. You know, something as simple as, you know, like some of these big deals, they get a car. Well, they don't know they got to pay tax or even if they're given a car. And then who's really paying for the insurance? You know, like, that's two different things. So, Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And the curse is getting money and losing money with blink of an eye. So that's the difference. That's the difference. So I like to call this my Johnny Cochran moment. Johnny Carson moment. And now I would like to bring our guest of the hour to the stage, Denise Thompson, Associate Athletic Director for Communication and Creative Services at the University of Delaware. Welcome to the garden, Denise.
Hey. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I got some questions for you. Some questions will come in, so I'm going to jump right on in here. Tell everyone about your journey from college to your current position.
Oh, my gosh, that's a very long answer, so I'll try and keep it as short as possible. So for me, I started actually my junior year of college. I attended Fairleigh Dickinson University where I was an intern there. And really the rest is history. I did it my junior and senior year. I liked it so much I had applied for several different positions, but it was actually a post-grad internship at the University of Memphis that I took, and I told people that was the year where they were preseason number one. Derrick Rose was headed there, so it was a no-brainer that I was going to decide to go there for my post-grad internship to really get that full experience. I was there for 1 year. After that, I went to Texas State University, where I was an assistant director there for five years. And when I was there, I just kind of knew that I wanted to lead my own office, and that had been my goal from the first day I got there. And I had that opportunity when I went to Northern Arizona University, where I was there from 2013 to 2017. And actually, a interesting fact is I did research when I took that position because I was named the assistant AD there. I was the first female to lead that office. I was the first minority to lead that office. And when I did my math, I was the only African-American female or minority as a whole at a non-HBCU leading a Division I communications office. So that was an interesting fact when I was there when I got hired in 2013. After that, I went to the dark side a little bit, and I went to the Big Sky Conference office. You know, for those that go from a conference office to a school or vice versa, it's very different, but I definitely liked that experience where I was getting more of that championship role. I took over marketing when I was there and really just got to interact with schools as a whole and have different conversations with presidents and athletic directors, which I truly think helped me. Unfortunately, as we all know, COVID happened, and during that time, I kind of felt like my experience and my passion would be able to fit more during this time at a university. So I found an opportunity where now I am at the University of Delaware, the Associate AD here for Communication and Creative Services. Recently, in the past couple months, I took over multimedia responsibilities as well, and I have been here since March of last year. So pretty much I have gone from New Jersey to Tennessee to Texas to Arizona to Utah and now to Delaware. And that is my story.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So I am going to backtrack a little bit. So you were at Fairleigh Dickinson, and you said as a student you worked in athletics. What did you do?
So the best thing is, so I ran track and field there. So my greatest claim to glory is that I was able to work on my own media guide, you know, back when we actually presented, actually printed media guides. So I worked on my own media guide there. I also did our weekly Players of the Week. So I was able to work with our administration as far as getting nominees done, posting that out on the website. So I was more of an office intern. I did not work games. Then that was really just because of my schedule that I had, but I was able to get a lot of work done. So it was the Player of the Week. It was working on the media guides. It was uploading things on the website. So really getting that hardcore comms part of the job done. And it was exciting. I actually got that position because my athletic director, Mr. Langford at the time, had asked me, hey, Denise, what are you doing for your internship? I said, I'm going to go to the student newspaper. And he said, oh, you should go upstairs to Sarah in our athletic communications office and go talk to her. So 2 weeks later, he saw me again. Hey, did you ever go talk to Sarah? I said no. He dragged me upstairs. The rest is history. Let's say I never went to the internship with the newspaper, and I ended up doing athletic communications the whole time.
That's outstanding. So that's a, almost, I don't, well, you know, April Emery, that's where I saw you at Vegas where she was being honored by COSADA. That's the first thing I gave her to do was to create the media guide. That, and you probably, you're too young to know LeCount Conaway, but he was the one who trained me. And I was communications major. I was going to ask you, what was your major in college?
Communications.
Yeah, so I didn't know what the SID was. I had already interned for the conference office as PR director, but I still didn't understand what a sports information director was. So he said, he said, you want to come work for me? And I was like, okay, sure. So, you know how we try to get the young people all excited. You know, he took me on a trip first. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Then we did game day. And then you got to go do the grunt work. And so I was like, okay, this is not so bad. Because I, like you, I only did, you know, office stuff during the year. But my junior year, he said, we're hosting a national track and field championships for Division II. I want you to run the press box with credentials. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he leaves, he says, oh, I need these media guides. And the media guide was for all the participants that were coming in. You know, I didn't know the people. So I had to go look them up. And he said, yeah, and the printer will be here for a meeting in like an hour. And
oh,
like, huh?
An hour.
Yeah. And he was like, here's some old ones. And so, but when you learn the basics, you got a good foundation, you can roll with it. So what was it that really said, this is where I want to stay in? What was that?
You know what? I don't know. I tell people, although my major was communications, I was really into graphic design. I had been taking graphic design classes since I was in high school. So really it was the creative parts. I tell people my background is graphic design, even though I was a comms major. And when I went to school, I actually thought I was going to be the next Angie Martinez. So I thought I was going to be on the radio. So I was all a little bit of everywhere when I went to college. But it was really the graphic design part that kept me in there. And then it was my just passion for sports. So I thought that I had done a good job. And when I had asked there at the time, you know, what other job opportunities, how do I go about it, she really just started helping me to build a portfolio. And I can't tell people why. There's a reason. It was kind of, I did it. I thought it was easy. I liked sports. Mm-hmm. And it was, why not continue doing something that you enjoy?
Wow.
So that's just kind of how I stayed.
Well, at Fayler Dickinson, was Sonya Hurt there when you were there?
No.
Okay. Yeah, she just came from there to go to Winston, so. And she's going to be in the next magazine, so I'm excited about that. But when you say Faye Dickinson, that's the first person I think about. She was in compliance. I'm going to touch one of these questions, and then we can go to break. So our friend Rob Knox, Senior Director of Strategic Communications for Thurgood Marshall Fund, and he's also in the fourth issue. I've had like two men in the magazine, but the whole deal was they had to write about women. So, you know, Rob is a strong proponent for women in athletics. So his question is, has been the biggest difference in athletic communication from when you started to now, and how do you get out front of the new wave of identifying more effective storytelling platforms and techniques?
Oh, that is a loaded question. I am going to hurt him when I see him.
that's why I really want to break after that.
Yes. So for me, without telling my age, because I will tell myself that I don't look that old, but at the same time, when I started, Quirk was still around. You know, InDesign, I don't even know if it really just started, but there was no social media. Mm-hmm. So the only thing social media there was Facebook, and then you still had to be a university student to get Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I did not grow up with Twitter, Instagram, and having all these things on the internet. It truly was, you know, you're still going in, and I remember I was printing and clipping articles, and, you know, you're taping them and doing all that hardcore, true grunt work that people were doing before the internet and technology took over.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the biggest thing is I didn't grow up when I had a student-athlete experience. I was not involved in that kind of landscape that it is now, and I think that has taken over the industry. So I think for people who might be leaving the business, or those that are in the business before, it's not working for them because they can't and or don't want to adapt because it came so fast. I feel like social media has just, like, hit the ground running, and it is moving faster than a lot of us know. So every time we turn around, there is a collaboration tool, or now you can tweet from two accounts at the same time. You know, it's going so fast. So I think that the biggest thing is being able to hang on and try to, you can't learn everything, you know, at the highest level, but just try and know enough so that you're knowledgeable, and then find different YouTube videos or tips, or to ask people along the way of, hey, how are you able to stay ahead of social media, and how is that going to enhance what you and your staff are doing? Because the reality is social media isn't going away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no choice but to adapt and be successful, and you kind of just have to find that platform that works for you and then try to enhance it. But the easiest thing that a lot of us don't do is we're still worried about how do we do it. We just have to ask the student athletes. You know, this is what they do every day. They're looking at their phone when they wake up, when they're eating lunch, right before practice. Ask them. They can tell us the new techniques and how to use it and what they want to see. And in return, it truly is making our heads hurt less and making our job go a little smoother. So I definitely think that social media is one of those things that you have to hang on to, even though it may not be something that you are used to when you first started in the business. What was the second half of this question? Sorry.
How do you get out in front of the new wave of identifying more effective storytelling methods and techniques?
Yeah, so Rob and I have had this question a lot. So if you don't know Rob, people out there, he is very heavy in the old school writing. He truly likes to write the 1,000, 2,000 word stories. And with my graphic design background, I'm just a little bit more visual.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have shared in the past is, how do you pair those two things together? How do you make it so that the people who want to write can still write something, and the people who want to listen and view something can still have it in a two-in-one? So a lot of those things is social media, like I said, is great. So what you do is you can make a graphic, and on half of it you can actually have the coach or the student-athlete talking on one half of the graphic, and on the other side you can have just a few quick hitters of, you know, what's your motivation, what age did you start this sport, you know, why do you love it? But also when you put a link to that story, now you're giving an option for people who view things differently. The person who wants to visually and listen to what it is, someone who just wants a quick tidbit because now it's on the graphic, but also for those who are interested in, hey, that person said enough that I want to learn more, now you click on the link, you go to the story, and now you've given them three different ways to hear one person's story. So I think I think that's just one way that you can do it. A lot of it, obviously, is you can do Q&As and mix it up, but I think that being able to just do a little bit of each one so that someone can gravitate towards it all and click on it, I do think that that is one way to push it all out there and then allow people with different avenues to be able to choose which one they would like to go to.
Well, you know, you make me feel like I know something, because I'm on to something. Not like I know something, but I was on to something. So, you know, I teach at Hampton University, and I teach sports PR. But I had like 30 people in my class, and they were only like four or five were actually communication majors. So I'm not trying to make, Howard Cosell's up in here or, Rob Knox's, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to get a baseline. And so only thing I said, well, we're going to just do, we're going to make a Twitter, and I took a team and I assigned a kid to a player. You're going to take a picture with the player, and you're going to write a human interest story about the player. And then we're going to put it on so the human interest story, like you said, it's a click. You click on it and you go to it. But it's the picture, you know, that you want it to say what you want to say to try to drive them there. So, and I've been teaching class for at least 5 years now, because I only teach in the spring. But then you can really see who rises to the top, and then I can work with them. And the others, I'm going like, okay, you just get points for tweeting, okay? So let's just go through the semester. But, yeah, that's exactly right. And I love Rob to death, but that when he was writing for the magazine, you know, he was joking. But, yeah, I was a serious editor. I said, this is too long. You're telling too many stories.
Yep.
I only got 500 words, man. I need you to direct this. And it makes you – and at the end, he's like, I see what you're saying. I said, because people attention span is different because of social media. If you got too many words, they're not going
to
say that.
To.
Yeah. So, hey, we're going to take a short break here on the Chat and the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And when we return, we'll continue talking about sports information with Denise Thompson. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Do Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I, NJCAA, and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chapman Garden with Stephanie Blooms in athletics and sports. Okay, jumping right into this. Sahara Abdul-Rashad, account supervisor at Fleshman Hilliard. She wants to know about your thoughts of being a female in the head seat. That's still a rarity in college athletics, especially at D1 outside of HBCU. What ways can we get more ethnic minorities in the industry, and more importantly, to stay in the industry?
Ooh, okay. I would. It's not as hard as people think, and I only say that because you have to find someone who truly wants to do this, and I think that that is what people don't understand. A lot of people want the glitz and the glam. They want to travel with the team to Costa Rica. You know, they want to go here and they want to go to March Madness. They want to experience all the great things that the fans see, but at the same time, they don't actually want to put in the hours and the work. So I think how you actually get more women in the seat is, one, you have to be passionate about college sports. Two, I think you have to really hone in on your time management and your work-life balance. You know, our lives are much different than a men's lives when it comes to this, as far as what we have to do and take home and, you know, traveling with different teams. So I think that you truly have to get that, and that's how we're losing people. I will tell you, I didn't know it at all at first, and it took me quite some time, but since I have been able to achieve it, you are then feeling just a little lighter on your shoulders and able to do it. So first, find someone who's passionate, and when you do, if you are a veteran in the business, reach out to them. You don't have to officially be their mentor, but definitely check in on them, see how it's doing, and make sure that you are showing them that all things are possible. I do think, unfortunately, when you are in a room and you don't see a lot of females in that room, it does get you down. You know, I looked into a meeting I had over here for external actually this week, and I counted that there are 6 total females in all of external here. Mm-hmm. And I was on a conference call, and there's only two of us that are heads. You know, so it's very, it can be down, but if you look at the flip side, it says, hey, someone is in that position, so what do you have to do? So I guess if I go back and look at myself and how I got there, I knew what I wanted. You have to know what you want, and you have to speak it into existence. So if you don't want to be an assistant director all your life, you need to make sure that your supervisors know that, that other people that you are working with know that. And in return, you have to be willing to get that feedback, but you have to absorb the things that the other departments are doing. You're understanding a lot better. So when it comes time for that interview, that you are prepared enough. I think that's a lot that people aren't, they're not prepared for interviews. They come, they're not showing a personality, and that's always my key. I say, if you give me an interview, I'm yours. Right, because you have to know how to sell yourself. We're not selling ourselves as communicators in this business, but we're so busy selling everyone else. Right, so don't be afraid to step up and volunteer for a committee or to lead a charge, a campaign. That is what you have to do. Like, no one gets rewarded for sitting back. And people say, well, why do I have to get up front? There's so much work on my plate that I have to do. There's always work that you have to do, but make sure that you're putting it at a high quality, that you're communicating up and down the channels that what you did, but also what you did, how you got there, and what that next step is. So bringing it all together, I would say time management and work-life balance are crucial. Two, this has to be something that you actually want to pursue and do, and you have to know what your goals are. I'm not saying it has to be a senior associate AD or an AD or commissioner, but you still have to know what your next step is, because if not, how are you knowing what you're doing and how that's going to get you to your next position? Secondly, definitely feel free to send random emails to people saying, hey, I saw your name on a directory. I'm really interested in learning more about your path. If you ever have the time, I would love to just chat with you for a few minutes. I think that that's essential, is how do you keep us? After a while, it's how you keep yourself there. Right, you know, people can't give you something every step of the way. You have to be able to, when you get that opportunity, to continue to shine. And remember that no matter how high your title is, there's still room to grow.
Okay, so but you said something. Well, I want you to back up a little bit and tell me about, you said you did achieve balance. You got to tell us how you did that.
Oh, man. Well, you know, so actually what it was is I didn't have it at first. You know, I just didn't know. And then the person that I'm dating, he truly knew his work-life balance. And he was like, you're working all the time, and what are you doing when you're not working? So I was like everyone else. I was bringing my computer at home, having it till 8 p.m. And then finally, when you start looking, I digested my day. Monique and I said, well, what am I doing the whole day? Well, like any of us, your first hour, you're sitting there talking to your staff. You know, the next hour, you might do some game notes. Next thing you know, you go downstairs to the basketball office. You're down there for an hour and a half. You come back and it's lunchtime. So what I really, truly realize is people in this business, we love our job and what we do because of the relaxed setting. But I also think that the relaxed setting is our Achilles heel. We get so caught up in the conversations and everything else that the next thing we know, the workday is over, and now we're complaining that we have to go do work at home at later on. So I think that you have to allot time for sure to go chit-chat, but that chit-chat should happen allotted later on in the day when you're actually able to put your tasks down and check them off. And then you'll realize, oh, you were so productive in the day that you have time to still chat for an hour, and you can go home even if it's at 4:50, 5 o'clock, and now you're good. I think a lot of people also in this business also feel like you have to be at the beck and call of your athletic director or your coaches, and you don't. Vacation is a true vacation. If you're going on vacation and you are answering emails the whole time, that's not a true vacation, right? So what I do is I have started, I'm not perfect, so I'll go in and I'll check it in the morning. But what I'll do is I'll check it and then I'll flag emails. Just because I don't like seeing the number. Like, you don't want to see that email number go up. So I'll hit delete. I'll flag the ones I need, and I leave it alone. And therefore, when I come back, I know which ones I need to get to.
I like that idea.
Yeah, like, so you don't want to ignore them because you don't want it to build up. But just flag it. You know, I mean, there you have it. Flag it. You're good. It'll come back. And now you know, hey, those emails are there. but you just slot your time when you're drinking your coffee or tea or whatever, 30 minutes, if that, look them over through, not responding to anyone, just flag them or do on, mark it as unread and keep going.
Now, when you were talking about, you know, your time, was that a formal time audit or you just doing it top of your head?
I'm sorry, what part about my time?
So there's a formal thing called do a time audit. Did you do a formal time audit or you were just saying, you know, at this time I did this? I mean, was that a formal time audit to find out how you were wasting your time or spending your time?
Oh, no. It was the reality. I knew that I talked a lot at work. Yeah, I knew that I was talking a lot. And so finally, sometimes I would just come in early. I would come in maybe just 30 minutes early to get stuff done. Therefore, when my staff came in, I could BS with them for 30 minutes and then go in. And then what I really started doing is, what's your groove? What gets you to get going? Sometimes it's music. Sometimes I really need music and I'm cranking it out. Other times, if I realize I don't come on music, that means I'm already focused and I don't need it to get me through the day. But what I also started doing, and what I started doing with the 2-in-1 was I had a concourse because we were inside a dome. So I still wanted to be able to, you know, get your legs moving, get up out your chair. So I would have my conversations with my friends while I was walking the laps around the dome. So now I'm doing a 2-in-1. I'm conversing. I'm walking around to get my step count in. Therefore, now I can go back and keep going again.
I like that.
And I would actually put specific times for that. I would say, okay, it's 1 o'clock. It's time to go do that.
Time to walk. Okay, I like that. So my last question is from a young lady who's new to the business. And which kind of concerns me a little bit because of what we just said about keeping them in the business. So she said, how did you navigate or figure out what was the right fit for you and fit for your role in athletics? And if you ever were to leave, what would be next?
Okay. The right fit. I think that sometimes people hurt themselves by going into college athletics by saying, I only want to work with this sport, and I'm only going to do this, and I need to be this basketball SID or this football SID, and I never had that. Never. I was very much open to whatever sport that I was going to get, and I truly think that that benefited me in the long run. When I took that first, when I went to Memphis, remember, I had not been a sport contact before, and I covered women's soccer, cross country, and track and field. When I then went to Texas State, I was responsible for cross country, track and field, softball, and volleyball. I ran cross country, track and field, but I had never worked with softball and volleyball. But I learned, I was very open, and I was secondary football. Within my first year of being there, they did some reorganization, and they handed me men's basketball, and I was completely shocked. I was like, are you sure you're not giving me women's basketball? You're going to give me men's basketball, and I haven't worked with any basketball? And it was because they believed in me and my work ethic and the work that I was putting out. So remind you, it had nothing to do with my sport, right? They saw me for what I was doing and how I was able to converse and get things done. And then opportunities started to come my way. And that's how I was rewarded. So I think in order to stay in the business, you can't sit there and pigeonhole yourself and say, I only want this sport. But at the same time, I'm also realizing that people want to hire someone with experience in a specific sport. And I don't think that's fair either. I think that there has to be a window of opportunity for everyone to learn because no one's going to be perfect in all of the different sports that we freaking have nowadays at a college university. That's just not possible. So I think that keeping yourself there and being open to the sports that you're going to get is your way of being able to blossom and truly learn, because just because you're not the sport contact doesn't mean you can't learn about that sport or work it. So I think that being very open in that will definitely help get you a long way. And I think that I will help you stay in the business. As far as what am I going to do next, I love sports in some kind of capacity. I have interviewed for jobs, whether it has been at an organization, at a conference office, or a school. I'm very open because I just want to lead. And whatever that role might take me, I don't have an ideal role because I feel like every 6 months it does change. But I know that it is somehow something to do with sports.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for having such great insights on the SID position, and congratulations of being one of very few women of color over a non-HBCU Division I program. Hats off to you.
Thank you, thank you. And I'm so sorry that I sound like a frog. I lost my voice yesterday, and I was been drinking tea this whole time hoping it would get better, so I apologize.
Oh, I didn't hear anything. Thank you so much for caring enough to get be prepared. And thank you, Jamla Harrison, for serving as our engineer and my eyes and my ears. You all join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.